national edition of our program. What's up, Sammy?
Oh, your mic wasn't on point.
I got the green light, bud. I'm like shot out of a cannon. When he says go, I go.
He looks like Brock Nelson at the start of the Saturday night's game.
Live on Sportsnet 650 in Vancouver and Sportsnet 960 in Calgary. This hour of Real Kipper and Bourne brought to you by Bet365. He's Sammy McKee. He's Justin Bourne. I'm Nick Kyprios. Spent a good full hour on our Leaf edition. I know it's a national show, but still coming off that crazy Friday in which Leaf fans thought maybe Rantanen and maybe not, only to find out that Marner may have been out there, and now we're in Vancouver, and a lot of talk about Brock Besser being out there and thought for sure there'd be a trade, and then the general manager, Alvin, comes out and basically says, you cannot believe the crap they offered me for this player.
This crap, we took his A away, we're barely playing him, but he should take a discount to play here.
That's excellent negotiating.
Okay. Like, I'm not big on devaluing your own assets.
You know, generally it's a bad strategy.
I don't know why he would come out and say that. You don't
I think he's protecting
you. Don't
himself.
Have to lie, but you don't have to say that. I couldn't get a bucket of pucks for him.
You know, but that's the implication. But don't you feel like, we talked about in the last hour how in some cases general managers are protecting themselves against public perception? It feels like Alvin was like, I know I should have traded him and I didn't. No one, he's like saving his own bacon. Like, I'd have traded him if I could have. Right? Like, you're trying to say, hey guys, like, there's nothing there. But of course, that doesn't end up looking very good for the player and the relationship with the player, but, and all that.
There's a head scratch, a lot of head scratches.
Hold on for a second
out there.
There was still the thought, and they did at one point this season, if reports are true, put $40 million on the table for him.
What's that, like a
5-year deal?
Yeah.
I that's what one of the reports were that I saw, that at some point earlier this season, and I don't believe that they tried to negotiate right up until the deadline.
Right.
But he was good enough for you to invest $40 million. So why not just say, we like the player, we're not giving him away for free, and there's still a thought that we'd like him to resign. And even if that's not entirely accurate, mm-hmm. protect the player.
Of course.
He's still playing for you.
Yeah.
And you still may go to the playoffs.
We actually talked, we didn't get to this in the first hour, but about Tree Living coming out and saying the right things about, to be clear, we want Mitch Marner. You know, they tried to get out in front of the thing and protect the player, protect
some
the
damage
asset.
Control.
Some damage control.
Yeah.
Sometimes you got to do that.
I know. But see, for me, it's always protect the assets.
Yeah.
Always. And the only thing I could say about Tree is when they lost in the first round to Boston and someone asked him about Mitch Marner, he's like, we're open to anything.
Well,
and that was not really protecting an asset either.
Mm-hmm.
So
I think that was more about the core in general, right?
Well, I think also, Sam, he's protecting himself there, because if he says, we're running it back again, we'd have all been like...
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
You know,
yeah,
verbally,
correct.
By the way.
Yeah. But he could have... There's just ways that you could still kind of not hang out your player to feel like they don't like me anymore.
It sucks, but you do kind of have to be a politician.
I feel bad for Brock. I think he's been around for a while now. He's still a top goal scorer. Come on.
I mean, he's only 28 years old, and people, like, I am shocked when you go to his page. He had 40 goals last year. He's only had 30 goals. He's never hit 30 goals again. Like, he's got 29 one other year, but 40 is, like, kind of an anomaly. So if he's offered 40 schmil and he's on pace for 24 this year, and if I'm signing him, I don't think it's going to get much better than, you know, it's a pretty good contract for Besser. What's he think he's going to get?
Oh, I think he can get... he
six
gets
times eight,
six years.
A free agent or something.
Even the extra year matters to him.
Sure, it should.
Right? Because he's not the fastest player. Those wheels could disappear in 4 or 5 years. So you want to max out. Mm-hmm. He's not getting eight. The most he'll get is seven. And I think teams will be weary to pay him seven. But I think he can get six.
Yeah.
He can shoot it in the net.
Yes.
Can I ask you, do you believe him? That they got no offers? because I can't necessarily say I do. I mean, Bevilier is going for a second round pick. They didn't get someone didn't offer them a first round pick for Brock Besser.
Pure rental, would he have been? He's up.
Yeah,
pure rental.
I had a source from another team tell me it wasn't that bad. He thinks that he got a decent offer or two for him.
Oh boy.
It wasn't that bad.
Oh boy.
So
that's news in Vancouver.
I just find it hard to believe that somebody didn't offer a first round pick. Anyways.
Okay. As promised, how many owners have we had on our show in 4 years?
It's got to be it.
First one ever, I think.
Let's welcome to the program our first ever NHL owner in real Kipper and Bourne history, Mr. Ryan Smith.
What's up, guys?
How are you?
Thanks for joining us. Really like your background. Is that a green screen?
That is Utah, fellas.
Oh, my God.
That's what we get every day here.
Talk amongst yourselves. I'm just going to stare at his background.
You know, Kip, I played at the E Center there now. I think it's the Maverick Center. My dad coached there. I think, is it the third sunniest city in the U.S.? It's got sun all the time.
It's that light blue in our uniforms. It's there for a reason because that's what it feels like every day here.
So, Ryan, just take us back a little bit with you personally on when was the seed planted for you personally with NHL hockey?
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm a tech guy. I grew up 20 years running a tech company that I founded in my parents' basement. And, you know, when we sold that company, I really wanted to get into sports. I'm a big NBA fan. We ended up somehow locking up the NBA Utah Jazz, which are here, which is the team that I grew up cheering for, which is pretty rare. I mean, people can get into sports. Very rarely do you get the team you grew up cheering for. And, we spent a little time in the summer up in Idaho, and I'm surrounded by hockey guys. Kelly Chase, Gretz, John Cooper, and we all spend time on the golf course. And Ray Whitney, Sheldon Surrey, wait, there's something different about these guys. And we started talking hockey, and everything kind of went from there. And one thing led to another. End up meeting with Gary a couple times. And, you know, we expressed our interest almost a year ago, January, saying, hey, we'd love to have an NHL team in Utah. It makes sense. The Olympics are coming, and, we get a call 2 months later going, hey, could you play next fall? And I know that's not the typical way this works. We thought it was going to be 3 or 4 years that even the shot to get an expansion, and even those expansion conversations in any league are very hit and miss. And, we get the call saying, can you start next year? And I've just learned with these things that you kind of say yes and then go figure it out later.
That sounds like, a lot of figuring had to be done in a very short while. So, on the ice, you're taking on a team that hadn't made playoffs in a lot of years, had a whole bunch of assets, but how you go from there to on-ice success is a challenge. How has it gone on the ice for you guys in terms of where you thought you'd be to where you are right now?
I mean, honestly, and I know it's weird to say, there wasn't that much from an expectation standpoint coming in, just because we were trying to see what it was like to have, February, where we just kind of got out of 11 days of back-to-back NBA and NHL, where we took the floor out every single night. We were trying to understand, what the fan, buy-in level was to this. I mean, it was a bit of a bet. And, is there a practice facility? And, we knew we had some assets and some core young players. And, what would happen if they kind of were given everything they needed to go? And I think we've seen definitely an uptick. But we've also had our moments where, for whatever reason, playing in front of the home crowd got a little daunting for a period there. And I think we've turned that around. So hopefully we're making a big push right now.
You're watching and listening to Ryan Smith, owner of the Utah Hockey Club. So Ryan, you went through your first trade deadline of any NHL season. How was that experience? I know you got Bill Armstrong there. John Ferguson is there too, experienced hockey guys. But how involved do you like to be, or how much are you around to maybe learn? And, you know, it's not that typical now for young owners now to be more inclined to take part in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah, I think with the assets or the franchise values going up on these things, I think in any sport, just from a business standpoint, you very rarely, you know, do something like this and then hand it over to someone and never look back. I think we bought the Jazz from an organization that paid $22 million for the franchise. And, you know, what we're seeing in sports across the way is like there's some level of involvement. I think the trick is how to empower your people, though. And, you know, I think the one thing that I think Bill Armstrong and Chris Armstrong definitely will feel is, hey, I want to be involved enough so I know what's going on. And, you know, hopefully they'll want my opinion just from a logic, a strategy, a business standpoint. But at the same time, you know, you hire great people and you get out of the way. And, you know, this trade deadline, I think, was the first time that we'd gone through any part, whether it was a trade deadline or re-signing players. And what became really clear is people want to be in Utah. And I think that whether it was Kerfoot, Ian Cole, Veggie coming back, like we're excited for where this goes. And I think we'll be active in the future. I think Bill's not being constrained a whole lot. And so I think we're in a good spot.
Ryan, how thrilled were you when you buy an NHL franchise and they say, by the way, the salary cap is going up from $88 to $113 million. Is that a positive or does that hurt?
That feels like every day in the NBA.
That's true. That's true. I guess it's a different budget level on that team.
Well, no, it's just different. It's different. There's a lot of similarities, and I think we're learning from both. I think we're probably the first organization, because it's one ownership group, we're truly like treating it as like one family. We've got our head coach, Will Hardy, for the Jazz, shows up to every home hockey game. Lauri Markkanen from Finland. He's the only Finnish player in the NBA. However, he is there with his kids on the ice. He is there. He is in it. I mean, they have like, there's a little bond between the Finnish players and Lauri. They have some special sauna system that where they all steam together. But it's pretty cool to watch it. If you think about it, the NBA team received the hockey team. They were like the big sibling that when a new kid showed up, they had it all because we didn't have all the infrastructure. They were working out in the same gym, the same chefs. And it's been one of the coolest experiences I've ever been a part of, where Utah was kind of the main like focus and mission. And then everything else came second. And it's been really cool to see. And I think as we're building out our new practice facilities and everything else, like it's going to be pretty cool because I think we're going to be able to do something that really hasn't been done, where you benefit and learn from multiple sports.
So the build to Utah hockey hasn't seemed that frustrating at all, with maybe the exception of naming a team. How's that process been? And whoever thought copyrights were like that important?
Damn, man.
Well, look, I mean, look, I brought it on myself, right? I mean, if there's any smoke, I should get it off. But we truly did this for the community. And, you know, everyone's like, hey, don't send it out. Don't run surveys with the community. And I was like, no, that's exactly what we're going to do. Like, we know exactly where our fans feel and how they think, and how they've kind of bobbed and weaved. And we're going to be super transparent with them throughout this process. And we always knew we were going to have a team name and everything set up for next year. And we're in line for that. And so it's cool. In the meantime, I think a lot of people like where we're at with Utah Hockey Club. And it's been a real rallying cry. And it was just truly one of the things that we couldn't tackle as we were trying to get ready. I mean, I think people forget. My wife and I walked into a conference room in the Marriott Hotel April 18th. And I sat in front of, you know, 70 people and said, hey, you've all been traded to Utah. And there's really not a lot of way to prep that? And what do you say? What do you do? It's I just went around and kind of dapped everyone up and told the boys, hey, let's go golf. Mm-hmm. Right. That seems to cure everything. And then I think they came up here and they saw the arena packed. I think the greatest sporting event I've ever been to was that opening announcement of the team. No sport was even played. It was just them coming in and introducing themselves. But the feeling of pride of Utah, the feeling that, hey, look, the fans met us halfway. And then I think for all the fellas, like they knew for sure that, like, okay, this is what it feels like. And so, and honestly, the barn's been packed ever since.
Yeah. No, that's great. It looked awesome from a distance. The one thing with all those fans is like that. I know that support in that community is very real for hockey. Do you feel like you guys will be a team that spends to that ceiling and tries to get a star in there and tries to generate that sort of interest, or what's the strategy there?
Yeah, I think we have a lot of pieces. I think you look at, obviously, I don't want to name too many names, but you got Cooley and Gunner and Kells. Like, we have the pieces to do some pretty fun things. We still got all of our picks. And we want to bring a Stanley Cup to Utah. Now, how do you do that while you're also not irrational and, you're patient but also aggressive, and, our division's hasn't gotten any easier, right?
Notice.
And so, but I think we're looking at this and say, hey, how do we go on a really long run? And I think our basketball team's in a similar spot. Maybe hockey's a little ahead of us. But we're excited. I think we'll definitely, if the right opportunities are there, we want to be a part of every single conversation. And I think the guys are absolutely going to love Utah, and it's clear this can be a massive destination, for the NHL, which is, something that we're excited to show off.
Ryan, can you golf there in the winter?
You could golf right now.
Yeah. I think you can ski and golf on the same day.
Yeah, the ski. You can see the mountain where the ski resorts are right behind that. So you ski during the day or in the afternoon. You can golf in the morning. It's not, we're about 4,000, 5,000 feet. And the airport is literally right next to the arena, and you can get anywhere in the world from there.
Ryan, let me ask you about the summer. A lot of nice unrestricted free agent lists. How aggressive do you think you might be?
Are we just trying to ask him if he's going to sign Mitch Marner? Is that all we're doing here?
I saw him skating around the oval the other day on the screen.
He seems to love it.
I saw that.
That's a way to get better fast.
Yeah. Look, I think we're in the game. That's what the message is. Like,
it's good message.
I mean, first of all, we needed to get our own guys locked up a little bit, and hopefully we're having a big summer here. But look, I'll let Bill and Chris handle that. Like, they're looking at that. We need to really be thoughtful in how we do it. We're not going to spend just to spend. Mm-hmm. We're not going to come in. I think the temptation as a new owner is you come in and want to really make a splash. That's not what we're about. Like, I've seen that a lot, and I'd rather that we get it right and add a piece or two that can really help us and push us over. And we got a lot of young studs from inside as well.
You know, Ryan, when I broke into the league in the early 90s, we had owners like Bill Wirtz and Ed Snyder. And I might as well have been walking and passing by like Don Vito Corleone, And now there's Tom Dundon going into Board of Governor meetings with his knapsack, wearing a knapsack. I see you on the glass with your cap backwards with Gary Bettman. Can you get Gary to wear a Utah cap backwards next game?
Well, so first of all, I didn't know that. I mean, pardon the ignorance here. I had no idea that the commissioner didn't sit on the glass. Like, you know, he turned to me during that opening game. He's like, you know, I don't sit down here all the time.
Literally ever.
Why? It's the best seat in the house. Yeah. You can sit anywhere. I would sit down there.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, we sit up. I was like, all right, I got it. But we're rocking down here today. So, and then like Tabuzzi came up and pulled up right behind him. And it was like, all right, this is a different vibe. But it's been incredible who's come out. I mean, Post Malone, Benson Boone, all these artists are coming out to games. And, you know, what people don't know about you, everyone comes through here. I mean, we've got 7 million people that come through skiing a year. Everyone comes through here. You got the film festival. And now it's like, okay, what's going on tonight in Utah? And it's like hockey. And you can't go anywhere. And what I love about hockey is that when someone comes to a hockey game, they go home and tell like 7 people. They're like spreading this message of hockey. And it's incredible, because that's how I got into it, is I had a bunch of guys that I'd be playing golf with that are like, oh, nothing's like hockey. How does every Olympic sport train in Utah, but not hockey? Like, it would kill it there. And then I was like, well, actually, that's super interesting. And then, you know, what happened with Four Nations? And it's kind of like, hey, we'll see you guys in Italy. And then knowing that it's going to be, we're going to see you in Salt Lake. And so to have our arena set up to where that is going to be where Olympic hockey is going to be, we got a massive renovation going on. You can't make it up. I mean, Gary, like, great foresight. We took a bet, but the people, I mean, we're in the fastest growing state with the youngest demographic here in Utah with the number one economy. And so, you know, that's normally a recipe. Like, if this was a tech company, you would bet on it every day. And so that's a little bit of the recipe that we're working with. And, you know, we're just fortunate enough to kind of be the stewards over it all.
Fantastic stuff, Ryan. And by the way, you got 3 golfers on this show right now that
all right, let's go. I'll be the 4th.
We'd love it. We'd love it. All right, we'll keep that in mind for sure. And we got to get a Utah Hockey Club jersey. We've had a few teams send us jerseys.
Let's see.
Well, no, this
that's
one's
just our local radio station here.
Yeah, we're trying to collect right now, but we got to find one of your jerseys.
All right, we'll ship one up.
You're a good man. Thanks for doing this, Ryan.
All right, fellas.
Thanks so much.
Ryan Smith, owner of the Utah Hockey Club. That was fun.
Yeah.
Really enjoyed that.
It's a great place. Good sales pitch.
You know what's hilarious? First of all, I'm there. Like, Utah Hockey Club, meet a guy. I don't even have to, well, if Marner goes there, I won't have to yell about Marner anymore. But let's go there and just cover them. But what I'll say is what he talked about at the start of that interview is what makes hockey guys, like, there's just nobody like hockey people.
Yeah, you went out and golfed with a bunch of hockey dudes and you're
and
like,
bought a team.
Yeah. Does that not how you roll?
But no, it's just, you know, he's worth $2.2 billion, that guy. Like, he's clearly very rich. He has the ability to do that.
Sammy, that's private.
I mean, it's on the internet. I literally Googled, like, how much is that? Yeah. It's not that private. But hockey people and hockey guys, you're around them. That makes me laugh. That he golf with, like, had a foursome. He's like, time to buy a team, boys.
Who the hell are these guys?
And, you know, I mean, it is true that, like, when I played, there were owners that were like in their 60s or older guys, and they've worked their whole lives. And now you got these young kids coming out of tech worth billions, and they're by team.
Yeah. And I don't know, the good, bad, or otherwise, but you think they would have more of a pulse on what a younger demographic would be interested in at the games?
I don't think it can hurt.
Yeah.
Right?
I gotta tell you, I understand why Gary was like,
and
I think,
we'll take that guy. Okay.
And like, he's got the energy to want to do it.
Interesting that he's involved somewhat, you know, like,
well, he said it best. It's my money. It's my investment.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't I keep an eye on it?
And I'll be honest, having not spoken to him on the show before, sometimes with people in his position, you have to be a little careful. How much do they really know? Like, could they give you names off the roster? He's well-versed in what's going on.
I do believe that's always a danger, is that you got a guy that thinks he can learn the biz in about 12 months.
Yeah.
I think we've kind of witnessed it a little bit with Tom Dundon, because he is taking charge out there. It was his decision to go get a star in Rantanen. It was his decision to think that I can sign him. And unfortunately, it didn't work out. Could it more experience, more knowledge of the culture of the game or players in general could have serviced him a little better? Possibly.
Do you feel like we should listen to Brindamore more soon?
Well,
are we ready to turn the
page? I think we should. We'll do game time and then we'll hit a break. But yeah, I just to finish up on Utah, like, don't they have a million picks in the next couple drafts?
They have every pick in the next 3 years plus additional
seconds.
2 seconds, yeah, okay. Another third, fourth, two fifths.
They're not as stocked up as I remember them being, but they have all their normal stuff. But like,
and they've also made a bunch.
That's a bunch of picks. That's a team on the rise. So yeah. That was fun, boys. Something a little different.
Absolutely.
All right. It's game time presented by Bet365. Visit the app, latest odds, and find out why it's ever ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus, Ontario only. Please play responsibly. So I was looking at this on Bet365 today as I quickly pull it up. You can bet on which country will win the Stanley Cup. And I thought at first that might be stupid.
They're just jumping all over something here. Yeah.
But they're basically like, do you want Edmonton or not? Unless you like the Leafs.
Our Jets.
Oh, the Jets. Geez, sorry. Yeah, yes.
Our Jets.
You like the Jets and Oilers.
So USA is a minus 350 favorite, which is actually a pretty good bet.
How many teams?
You get 13? No, I don't know. How many?
Going to the playoffs, right?
So
how many Calgary, US teams? Vancouver can both get in.
Yeah.
It's possible. It's unlikely. It's likely one of them does, and then you have Toronto, Winnipeg, Edmonton.
So you're betting on Toronto, Winnipeg, Edmonton, or Ottawa, potentially.
Yeah, you're getting 10 or 11 teams if you're...
So the number for Canada is plus 260, and the number for USA is minus 350. If there's some value at minus 350. It's obviously a lot of juice, but you're getting a lot of teams there. It's a pretty good kick at the can.
Nah.
No?
Buddy, the Jets are good. Oilers are good.
You forgot them.
I did. I had a moment. I know about them.
And
Jets talk.
The other thing I'll bring up tonight, the Toronto Maple Leafs are visiting Ryan Smith's Utah Hockey Club. First ever trip to their arena there. I don't know what it's called. Sorry. Alex Kerfoot, lock of the century to score against the Leafs.
But he's got 5 goals
all
year.
Doesn't matter.
New contract, though.
Plus 600. Love that number for Alex Kerfoot against the Leafs tonight. That's got a great chance of happening as a longtime Leaf fan.
Alex Kerfoot this year, he's got 7-10 for 17.
So there you go. And that was game time. Presented by Bet365. Visit the app for the odds and find out why it's ever ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus. Ontario only. Please play responsibly.
Yeah, Utah's. I like what they're going, where they're going.
I think a fun team to take over, given the potential.
Mm-hmm.
Some good young players. Like, you feel like if they could add a couple of names, just a couple of guys, you go, oh, okay, that Keller's really good. I like Schmaltz. Cooley's on the come up. Like, they have some guys. Decor's pretty good too.
They're a Mitch Marner away from being really good.
No, they got a little bit of a Mitch Marner in that Dylan Gauthier.
Gunther.
Genther?
Yeah.
Genther. Yeah, he was.
They gave him $7 million after, like, playing 60 games. And he's going to be real good value in a very short period of time.
I think so, eh?
He can shoot it in the net. Yep. I think he's got over 20 now, doesn't he, Sammy?
He has 23 goals in 51 games so far this year. He's a +5. He had 18 in his rookie year playing for the Coyotes.
He's going to close in on 30.
Oh, no, sorry. Second year, he had 18.
I want to say the
but this is
under 21, he's like leading in goals or second in goals. He produces.
Team Canada future member for sure.
Yeah.
And he... We're painting Vancouver Canucks fans because his pick was, I believe, was part of the Oliver Ekman-Larsson trade.
Is that right?
Yeah.
So goals at age 21 or younger, Wyatt Johnston, 24, Genther, 23, Fantilli, 21, Celebrini, 20, Michkov, 20.
Four of those five guys from the good old Canada?
Oh, we got, yeah, I guess so. Is that Johnston?
Well, fine.
Johnston, is Johnston Canadian?
Yes.
Yeah. You like Wyatt's... $42 million deal?
Love it for both sides, actually.
Yeah, for him, he sold one season to UFA, and then he gets to get paid again.
Yeah, and then he gets another crack at it soon.
Call that the Matthews.
Okay, let's take a quick break. When we get back, we'll get into Brad Marchand and why. I'm going to tell you why he only went for a second-round pick.
Okay. All right, then.
Okay. All right, when we return, more Real Kipper and Bourne.
Everything you need to know about the Raptors and the biggest stories around the NBA. Smith and Jones. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. A reminder of this hour of Real Kipper and Bourne brought to you by Bet365. I got like four texts going. What a background on Ryan Smith's office.
He knew what he was doing.
He looked
free ad.
For those of you that couldn't watch on TV or like his background was like spectacular. Mm-hmm. And he's probably so rich that he actually looked bored. Like it was like he was looking around going, I got to look busy. He must have everybody doing something for him right now.
No, every day he's just trying to come up with names that he can get through legislature, you pass patents. The Mammoth, the Outlaws. He's just trying every day.
Arizona is a pretty good place to play, but
yeah,
like that can rival.
Only tough thing is I can tell you as an alcoholic who lived there, tough to drink. Bars close early. You go to order a double, you got to pour your own shot into your drink.
Really?
Yeah. It's kind of strange.
There's a ways around that.
There certainly is. I can tell you about them if you'd like to know.
Ryan would probably find some ways around it.
That's not enough of a reason to not want to be there.
I was going
to
sign there, yeah, but it's tough to drink. I don't think that's a problem. I think people figure it out.
Okay.
Fun stuff.
Still more meat off the bone we can pick from Friday's trade deadline here.
Well, before we went to break, you said something interesting about Rad Marchand.
Yeah. Well, first of all,
we do have the clip of him talking at his press conference and him getting emotional. If you want to play a bit of that before we start.
Let's wait. Okay. Let's wait.
Yeah.
Just the mere thought, and I had him on my trade board for sportsnet.ca. Yep. I came really close to taking him off this week. I said, no, leave him on. Yep. Just leave him on because there's something really, really strange going on here. Because 16 years on the Boston Bruins and your captain and all these question marks on him, and not once did the Boston Bruins or general manager Don Sweeney or their president Cam Neely come out and squash anything.
Yeah.
You don't leave a guy of that stature dangling like that.
Twisting in the wind.
Twisting in the wind without something to it.
So being willing to let the wind take them.
So in saying that, where were you guys going into 3 p.m. deadline on whether he'd stay or go? Did you even give it that much thought?
I'll be honest. Prior to like 1:30 p.m., I never thought about his name. And then after some reports started coming out, like, I don't know, maybe did you tweet something?
No, I didn't really touch it. I think Elliot was the real first thing
as
we
heard.
As soon
as I heard his name, I was like, it's happened.
Was it maybe about 10 minutes too? Yeah. And it's like, he could be heading to Florida.
Yeah.
It was closer than that, boys.
Yeah, maybe.
I'm just quickly scrolling back here. I think it was like at the buzzer.
So tell us then, you know, the one thing that blew me away and immediately made me go, what happened?
The tweet from Friedge when he said last minute possibility, hearing Brad Marchand could be traded to Florida, was at 3:01 p.m.
Yeah.
Okay. At the buzzer.
My first thought when I saw the return was Claude Giroux trade, where he said, yeah, you can trade me, but I'm only going there. And then they know you have all the leverage and now you can't get anything for me, which is, I don't think would happen, but I'm looking forward to hearing more.
You outscooped me.
Is that right?
Yes.
That's not a scoop. I was just throwing stuff at the wall and something finally stuck.
But
you're right. First time for everything, buddy.
All right.
It makes total sense.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It makes total sense. He took everybody out of play, and this is where I want to go now.
Yeah. And you're Bill Zito, and you say, oh, he wants to come here?
So,
and only here?
Off the top of my head, Sammy, is it a second rounder unless he wins two rounds and
goes to
and plays half the games?
50% of the games.
And plays half the games.
If it goes to a first.
Yeah. And
first in like 2028, I think.
Just explain something to me.
Yeah.
Okay. You still got Charlie McAvoy there.
Yeah.
You still got Pastrnak
like
there.
Doing, yep.
You still got Swayman there. You got Lindholm there. Okay, you could go out and get a free agent here.
Totally.
Why are you giving away this guy for a second rounder?
That's one of those things where you go, well, you can't just take advantage of me. I'm not giving away Brad Marchand for a second. I'm not doing that.
And like at the buzzer of the trade deadline, you trade away your heart and soul captain?
Please explain it to me because, okay, he's 36 or 37, Sammy?
37. I believe he just turned.
Okay, if he just turned 37.
But he's still going to be 60
point. He's
36. My bad. May 11th.
He's 36, going on 37 next year. He's still, if I'm not mistaken, your second leading scorer on the team to Pasternak, even though Pasternak's like got 30 gazillion more points
he's
than
so
him.
He's so good, by the way, Pasternak.
Yeah, he's so good.
So good.
But why are you so adamant to get rid of this guy?
You're also 3 points out of a playoff spot. I know they don't think they can win this year, and I know that they're being honest with themselves, but I mean, if you can't get more than a second, hang on.
Like,
so here's what kills me, Kip. Sorry, unless is we're going to play the Marchand interview in a second where he says Sweens is a great GM, if not the best GM in the league. I still, Marchand always has a ton of, he's smart with how he talks about other people, but he didn't let on that there's any acrimony between them, but how could there not be? How could there not be?
Let's go to Brad Marchand.
This is a longer clip, so if you're sick of hearing it, I think it's like 2-something. So if you're sick of hearing it, just say and we'll dump out of it, but we can start it here.
I want to kind of set the record straight. Like, I don't have any ill will towards the management group, towards Sweens, Cameron, or Charlie. You know, I've had an incredible run in that organization, and I'm extremely proud. How things went there. It was very disappointing that things didn't get done, just because obviously I love the organization. I wanted to stay there. But at the end of the day, I also know that business is business, and every player has a shelf life. And regardless if that's when we want it to be or not, sometimes there's things out of our control that dictate situations. If we were in the playoffs at the point in time, we'd probably be having a much different conversation. And I know that. Something we had talked about previously, but we weren't. And at that point, very tough decisions have to be made. And the one thing that I always respect, I told Cam Sweens this, is they have a job to do and they have to make the best decisions for the team. And I completely understand where the decisions need to be made. It sometimes they work against you, but that's why, I believe Sweens is one of, if not the best general managers in the league. I watched him for a very long time, excel at his job. And for those who are in the organization.
Jesus.
We're good here.
Yeah, we're good. I can only watch Brad Marchand choke up so many times.
Yeah, it's emotional. He's, first of all, he's a smart guy, as you mentioned.
He is.
Okay, he's a sharp guy.
Very smart.
He can read a room. And I just like the fact that once you kind of get over the emotional aspect of it, that it's business. It's just business. We'll decide maybe today, tomorrow, or 6 months or 6 years from now whether it was good business or bad business, but it's still just business. And he's smart enough to acknowledge it. Where people get in trouble, I truly believe, is if they just can't look at it in no other light except their own, right? They can only see it from their view, and they don't look at different dynamics of it.
Is this Marner talk?
No, it's me talk. 2019, leaving Sportsnet.
Yeah.
Okay? I mean, I was emotional at the time, but you cannot look at it in only your eyes. Mm-hmm. You got to look at their decisions on why.
Yeah, yeah.
It's business. You know, am I going to badmouth Sportsnet? Is Marchand going to badmouth the Boston Bruins? Is he going to say I felt ripped off? They don't know what, like, no, mm-hmm. no, it's just business.
And that depends, right, Kip? So that's always the right thing to do, I believe. You know, what you're talking about there, what Marchand is doing there. But we do see teams and people who want to get their narrative out in front of it. And I actually am thinking about, like, when Shanahan and Dubas had their public falling out. You felt both guys being, like, you know, chipping away at each other and taking shots and trying to establish position. So that is really impressive for Marchand because I don't think there's any way he's not pissed off. How could you not be pissed off?
I think, yes.
Unless he's genuinely went to them and said, I want the heck out of here.
You can go through your stages, and you've done it through your life, that you go through different stages, and there's anger, there's disappointment, there's you name it, mm-hmm. and you can go through all of that, but you don't have to do it publicly. And I think he's genuinely excited about playing in Florida right
sure
now.
He is. How could you not?
Right? Yeah. I mean, chance to win a cup.
Is what he's able to do too is not necessarily, I don't know how he could do it. It would take maybe a very strong guy, but he hasn't closed the door on returning to the Boston Bruins July 1st.
Yeah. That just never happens. And
you're probably right.
And I would love to see it happen. But yeah. Yeah. The hurt feelings seemed like they override yeah. some of the, you know, they obviously didn't offer him a very great deal. But what do you make of the deal? Yeah, people offer him $3 million a year or something?
No,
that can't be
bad information.
Bad info.
Yeah,
$3 million a year. No, guys supposed to score 60 some points. He's on Team Canada.
That was just really bad reporting.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll tell you. And Elliot talked about this on Hockey Night in Canada during the second intermission, that Brad tried everything to get a deal done, including meeting with them and saying,
it's crazy. That's nuts. But he sat with them and still couldn't get it done.
You know what the difference was? Hmm. Maybe $500,000 a year.
What? No way. To me, you owe Brad that. Brad's been underpaid for a decade.
Yes. Yeah, there's a lot of reasons why you can look at through Brad's situation and go, guys, I gave you a heck of a deal for...
Been making six and
literally
a half.
My whole
Hart
career.
Trophy votes, like
my whole career,
and but they walked.
It
they walked
for a conditional second round pick.
For a conditional second round pick, they walked on something that was as little as $500,000 a year.
And history will write whether that was a tremendous show of stones or sheer idiocy. You know, one or the other. But we will see. Also shows how entrenched he is that he mentioned. Charlie. I had to Google who that is. Charlie Jacobs is Jeremy Jacobs, I assume, son.
The family that owns the team.
CEO of the alternate governor.
Yeah.
Like, but he's talking to like
they still
the
have
people
a,
with the purse.
They still have a right to move on
of course
and make a business
yes.
decision. So $1, $500,000, $10 million, it doesn't matter. It's your decision. You're in a position to make it. You did it. Move on.
Two things. First thing, if I'm a Boston Bruins fan and I'm watching Brad Marchand at the podium wearing Panthers colors,
just
almost cry.
Vomiting.
That is the most disgusting video you could ever watch. Like, that is just horrifying
it's
if you're a Bruins fan.
Right
like, oh my God.
Just
like, how?
Get that off the
like, I would turn that off immediately.
Secondly, what are you showing me?
Some breaking news from NHL public relations. Aaron Ekblad suspended 20 games for Florida Panthers defenseman Aaron Ekblad has been suspended for 20 games without pay for violating the terms of the NHL and NHLPA performance enhancing substance program. Under the terms of the collective bargaining agreement, the suspension is accompanied by a mandatory referral to the NHL and NHLPA program for substance abuse and behavioral health for evaluation and possible treatment. The National Hockey League will have no further comment at this time.
That is huge news. That is
does that
playoff
well, barely.
Implications.
They have 18 games left. He just got suspended for 20. Will he miss any playoff games?
Yeah, that's...
That counts all the same? Suspensions just trickle in?
Or does it get tacked on to the regular season? But he's a free agent.
Yeah.
What happens if he retires?
So it must count for playoffs. He must be out the first two games of playoffs.
Wow.
And, you know, they're without Matthew Tkachuk, too. I will say they have...
How big is that Seth Jones pickup?
No kidding. Wow.
So that's a fairly massive story. I mean,
and that just came down.
Just literally while we were talking about 4 minutes ago.
Yeah, they test like 8 guys a year. I know that's not true, but like,
yes. Yeah. For sure.
He's a fairly regularly injured guy. You could see him trying different things, and who knows.
Do you guys want to quickly play the Brind'Amour audio?
Yeah, I think that's a really good piece of audio.
Okay, so can we...
Backstory.
Backstory?
Yeah, backstory is just that Rod Brind'Amour did the interview on Rantanen and Leaving where he makes the point that it wasn't like he came to Carolina and said, looked around and said, I don't like this, but had made some decision, and I'll let him explain the rest.
Rod Brind'Amour clip, please, Derek.
There's not been one guy that has left here because they didn't like it here. That was Seppo Mikko, and he didn't not like it. When he showed up, he said, there's 4 teams I'll go play for. Well, you're not one of them. So there's 28 other teams he wasn't going to. And when the better question is, should we have known that before we signed him?
Right.
Or attempted to sign him? You know, Gensel was a totally opposite thing. We had offered him the contract. We offered him at the end. He's here.
Right.
Well, we didn't for whatever reason. That's a different conversation. And all the other guys that walked out of here at free agency, because they got paid a lot more money than we were offering, they all wanted to stay.
Right.
So Mika was the only one that I've been associated with that said, I don't want to, this is not for me. And I think there's other circumstances on that. It's not because of the hockey. It was because I think his family, it wasn't for him.
Mm-hmm.
So good. And I appreciate that he'd let us know that. We probably should have known that before we made the deal. Maybe that changes how we go about things.
Yeah.
Oh,
I think it's a given, and their general manager, Tulski, mentioned, I think it was a risk, and you lost the risk.
And so do you think that's Dundon related? Do you think he wanted to get a superstar in there? And
but he's running the show.
Yeah.
He runs the show.
Is that right? It's just, I hear a very competitive man who is frustrated at not being able, his team got worse for this season. Like, yeah, maybe long-term we'll look back and it'll shake out fine, but this season's team's worse. And he says, we should have known that about Rantanen, or maybe we should have known that. Gensel, if we had offered him the money, he would have stayed. And everyone else, we didn't offer him enough money. That's like, to me, if you're the owner, you know, that feels like the beginning of the end for Brind'Amour and Dundon. It's like, those are some real shots to me.
Yeah, if you're Brind'Amour, you're like, so... I had Marty Natchez on my team this year and Mikko Rantanen on my team this year. And now I'm going towards the playoffs with neither on my team at the most important part of the year.
I can't put a first on the power play.
You had Natchez next year at 6.5, too. That was another crack.
Boy, that Natchez is pretty good on Saturday.
Keeping a player at a low cost while you improve in other areas. So,
man,
it's a big gamble. And unfortunately, they lost. Stankoven's a decent player, but... not a game changer by any stretch.
Right.
He's young.
Yeah. Young.
He obviously has more experience than what the Leafs were going to offer with Minton and Cowan. So
sounds like they tried to make another deal, Carolina did, at the deadline to improve, like along with Stankoven, but ran out of time. And I think that clip that we had considered playing was them saying that they just spent too much time.
I do have that clip, but it's we're...
Okay, but you said the gist of it. They wanted to make more moves, but they ran out of time.
Yeah.
It's like, guys, they put the trade deadline in your calendar in the summer.
Yeah.
It's not like it snuck up on you.
It sounds like things unfolded in the last couple of days didn't anticipate.
As an owner, if someone said to me, we wanted to make more trades, but we spent too much time on Rantanen, I'm telling you, I'd go ballistic.
But if you're the one in the room making the decisions, you don't have the right to do that because you're a part of it.
Ryan Smith.
You always have to make a decent point.
Ryan Smith would never do that. Ryan Smith.
Our golf partner.
Our favorite owner in the league.
Our golf partner. Our new best friend, Ryan Smith, owner of Utah Hockey Club. Thank you very much for joining us at the top of the hour and the invitation. That was fun today.
Anyway, it's fun.
All right, and if you're not sick of us already, 9:30, Sportsnet, regional, Leafs in Utah, Justin Bourne, yours truly, Elliot Friedman, and David Amber.
Have a blast, guys.
It'll be fun.
All right, we're back tomorrow.